Libraries have really become not only a place for books and literature, but a place for communities to meet with each other, to find education and recreation. And so I think that we have a lot of potential to offer more of those types of things.
The library already has significant community space. It's added to the flexibility of its existing space over the last decade or so. But some trends include things like social workers or showers or performance spaces. What lies ahead on those kinds of fronts, and what other ideas are you envisioning as the future of the library?
You know, I just read an article today about a social worker being hired in the library. So I think that's definitely an interesting concept, and we can explore if that would work in our community, or maybe it would be better in our community to develop stronger partnerships with other organizations who are doing that types of work, already. I think there are things that we are currently in the process of doing a study of what our building space should look like in the next 5 to 10 years. That will help us make some of those decisions. And I think that I'd love to encourage staff to dream big. And as we move forward, we can be creative about what we want to do.
One of the potential things involved in this study of library visioning is extending the library out south for perhaps a better or different children's area, perhaps some green space. Any number of things have been mentioned. What are key pieces that you most want to have considered or thought about as this study goes forward?
The community room is very important to me. I see the library as a community hub, and I think our community sees it that way as well. So that's a very important piece of it. And then I think flexibility is really important too. I know years ago, a library's didn't realize that laptops were going to be so big, and the need for outlets really came up in a lot of libraries. And so just that's just a small example of historical needs that have arisen in libraries. So trying to foresee, I mean, we can't tell the future, but trying to make spaces flexible so that we can meet those needs as they arise.
Enlarge on the study process, some of the timelines maybe, and who you would like to see the stakeholders participating in different parts of it.
Okay, so some of the process has already been completed. We're working with an architecture firm. And so I think really the next piece that needs to take place, which they waited until I came on to move forward, is kind of building up some conceptual where we go from here. What can this library look like? And that will help the community get excited about that, because that visual component is really important. After that's completed, I think that the community members will be able to see some of that visioning process, and we can get input to on what things people like, what they don't like.
An addition is not just a building project and a design project. It is a political project and a fundraising project. Mm-hmm. What do you think will have to happen to fill out those parts of it?
Well, one of my big goals as I'm starting is getting really involved in the community. And that's not just because of the building project, but so that I know the community needs better and who we can develop partnerships for different needs, like the social services that we talked about. So I think that's the big key thing, is developing a variety of relationships throughout the community so we can get good feedback and really be able to offer what's needed in the community, not just what a few people think.
And how much money do you think you'll have to raise, and from whom, to go with whatever contribution comes from the city to make a complete go of this?
Well, I think that really depends on the direction that we decide to go. There have been a lot of different ideas tossed out there on how people envision this process going. So I think that is part of the next step, is figuring out what direction we want to go and how much that might cost. And I think that will include community contributions, so from individuals and organizations. So we will be probably looking at a capital campaign.
The town of Normal is considering an entirely new facility, and the early look at that, and the big round numbers are $20 to $30 million, with a potentially $7 million private fundraising goal. Those are not in any sense hard numbers, and we don't want to hold the library or the town to that. But are there similar ballparkish kinds of things coming up in your conversations?
I have heard numbers that are probably similar to that. But again, I think we're so early on in the process that it's hard to hold people to those numbers and to know what we're looking at, because there still are a lot of ideas being tossed around.
What's the thinking in libraries as they're being built around the country? What do you see happening? Are they architectural statements? Do they come in a concept that fits in with existing architecture and doesn't try to make a bold new thing? What happens?
I really have seen both directions being taken. I think it really depends on the community, how they drive that. Really, I think the most important thing, though, is that functionality and flexibility, making sure the space meets the community needs. So if architecture is a big importance to the community, I can see that big, bold statement. But I think in Bloomington, we're talking about that functionality would play a greater piece in that.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Jeannie Hamilton, the new director of the Bloomington Public Library. Part of the reason that the position came open was a controversy over the bookmobile. That illuminated a philosophical difference of libraries. Should they be places for social services and community outreach, or should they closely hew to serving demand only? How do you envision a library?
It is a little bit challenging since we are funded majority through taxpayer dollars. So we want to be good stewards of that money. And demand is a big piece of how a metric that we show that, yes, we're using your money wisely. So that's not to say that there aren't programs that you need to try out and you need to see, hey, this isn't working in this way. So rather than discontinue it, let's see how we can do it different and better. So I think that's there. I see both sides of the coin. I know I've mentioned adaptability and flexibility a lot, but trying to be adaptable and flexible and see how you can meet those needs. We had staff members that presented a bookmobile survey that we recently did on our website and on the bookmobile. We got a lot of good feedback, and we got a lot of people suggesting different stops. And so I think that that's something that can definitely play into our decisions. Going where we have had firm requests is an important thing too. And we've had a bookmobile committee that was comprised of board members and community members, and they had a lot of good input and have helped steer the conversation in a different direction and helped give a vision for how to proceed. with the bookmobile.
Enlarge on that. What are some of the details on how to proceed?
I think they were the ones who asked the staff to put together the survey. And so making sure that we are trying to meet the needs of the community and then promote other things too. So in addition to the bookmobile, we have a homebound delivery service for mainly seniors who aren't able to leave their homes. And we have a deposit collection where we take that collection into different locations. And so seeing if maybe some of those other outreach services may be more appropriate in areas where we didn't get a huge response to the bookmobile.
The bookmobile issue has in one sense been also a stand-in for a larger question about all underserved communities, not just the West Side. As you mentioned, you do have to balance demand and serving existing constituencies with those who are not accessing library services. What other outreach efforts can the library engage in to look for those underserved constituencies?
Well, I think one of the great things that happened on that bookmobile committee was involving community members. Quincy Cummings, the NAACP leader, was a part of that committee, and so I know that some good input was involved from those different communities that serve maybe some areas that are a little underserved by the library.
Jeannie Hamilton is the new director of the Bloomington Public Library. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.